Amen.
Always enjoy a good season of prayer. All right, Deuteronomy chapter number 5, if you would turn there. Deuteronomy, give you an opportunity to find your place there. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Once you find your place, you can go ahead and stand. We've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and we kind of paused here to take a look at the Ten Commandments. And we've gone through the first four, and we're on the fifth, and we're going to stay on the fifth for a while. We're going to talk about parenting and the importance of parenting, the responsibilities of parenting and grandparenting, and some of you, great-grandparenting. It's just a wonderful thing to have offspring, to have lineage. It's a wonderful thing to have influence in the lives of the young people. And I pray that we would take it very seriously. I can tell you this, God does. God takes it very serious. And I believe you do as well. And so I pray that as we study this together, that we would be reminded of the responsibility that's been placed upon us to bring up our children in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord, and as grandparents to be there to assist and to guide, to advise. If you look down in verse number 16 of Deuteronomy chapter number 5, you'll find the first of the last set of the commandments. There's 10, and they're divided kind of in two sections. Somebody said that's why they were two stones. I'm not so sure about that. Could be, I don't know. But I do know that there's these first four that are Godward. Kind of like the prayer we were looking at earlier, right? The model prayer, it starts out with Godward. Thy name, right? Thy name be hallowed. Thy kingdom come. Thy will. It starts out with God and then it goes to us. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, it goes from God to man. Well, this is the way this works, okay? You have to have your relationship with God right if you're going to have your relationship with man right. Now, a lot of people get it backwards, and they try to say, well, you know, I'm going to get my relationship with this one and that one right, and then I'll eventually get things right with God. No, it starts with God always. It always starts with God. And so we talked about those first four and the importance of them. And then we get down here in verse number 16, and I want to read this in your hearing, and then we'll have a word of prayer and be seated. I want to talk to you again about honoring thy father and thy mother. Verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, obviously, what is happening here is throughout the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is given instruction. When you get in the land, this is what God expects. All right? You know, the wilderness is a different journey. You're getting ready to go into the promised land. And God has expectations and guidelines, and stipulations. And so he expects you to follow them. And he's given them some guidelines and some rules. But right here he says he wants to reiterate these 10 commandments that are very important. And he gets back to the parents. And I want you to notice what he said here. We sometimes leave this part out. It's that it may be, that it may go well with thee, but you know what? That's not the end of that sentence. Want it to go well with you when you get into the land. Because as the behavior of the young generation, as the training of the young generation, so goes the nation. We've forgotten that. And God said, I want to remind you now, when you get in the land, I've set you up. I've given you everything that you need. You can find that in chapter 6, and we may go there before the night is through. We eventually will, but I don't know that we will tonight. But God said, I've set you up. I've given you houses. I've given you land. I've given you the setup. But now I have some things that you need to do, and I'm commanding you to do them if it's going to go well with you. You say, I want my life to go well. Train your children. Train your children. Not only will your life go well, it'll help their life to go well. Amen. And not only will your life go well, and it'll help their life to go well, and those in whom circle they're in, it'll help their life go well. That's right. But when children go untrained, when children are left to themselves, chaos follows. And I think we're seeing it in our day. And it's a sad day in which we live. God have mercy and God help us. Let's pray. Father, would you help us in these few moments that you've given us together tonight to just look into your word and gather some truth, some instruction that would help us, first of all, in our own lives, and then to help us to be a help to others. God, that is the desire of our heart, to please you, to be pleasing unto you, and then to be a help unto someone else, that they could be pleasing unto you as well. So I pray for your help, that as this message goes forward, it would not fall upon unheeding ears and closed hearts, but that the hearts of your people, not only here in the congregation tonight, but those that would join us by live stream, may every heart be open and attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God as we look into your word for instruction in these matters. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to give you three words. I gave them to you last week. I want to give them to you again. As I look into this one verse of Scripture, there's three words that kind of jump out at me. Honor thy father and thy mother. Parents. All right? That's parents. And so we're going to talk about parents. What a great responsibility, but what a great privilege. We get to be parents. Amen. If you're a parent, it's a great honor. It's a great privilege. And so we're going to talk a little bit about parents tonight. And then, number two, I gave you this word last week, precept. There's a precept in this word honor. It's kind of a rule. It's an observance. It's something that God has placed upon you. You give honor. That's what I want you to do. I want you to give honor. Now, in order to get honor, you're going to have to give a cause for honor. We honor God, and God has certainly done his part that he should be honored. And so as a parent, we want our children to honor us. And so a lot of what we invest into them will be reciprocal, and it'll reciprocate back to us, right? And that the honor is given as we teach them and as we train them to honor. And then the third thing that I see is a promise. He said that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may be or go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So he said these are three things, all right? He said, parents, precept, and then he said, I'm going to give you a promise. Now, Paul, the apostle, over in the book of Ephesians, he said, now this is the first commandment with promise. There's a promise attached to it. In other words, a condition. If you'll do this, then this will happen. All right? So you say, well, I want it to go well with me. Well, God says, if you want your life to go well, here's a good start right here. Right here's a good start. Let's just talk a little bit about this. Parents. Well, unfortunately, there's many in our culture today, in our society, that think, well, just kind of having children qualifies you to be a parent. Well, it may identify you as a parent, but it certainly doesn't qualify you as a successful parent. There's three stages that I see when I think about parenting, and I think about parenting children. I see, first of all, biological. I want you to think about that for a moment. Biological. It's amazing to me. It's amazing that there's a lot of things in life we get to choose. All right? But now you don't get to choose who your parents are, right? And you don't even get to choose who your children are. Now think about that for a moment. You do get to choose if you're going to have children, or at least the desire to have. But ultimately, that's in God's hands. So you need to understand that. There are some things you can choose. I just think it's interesting. I get to choose if I want to worship God or not. I get to choose that. I can either choose to worship God or not to worship God. I've told you, I think that's the most important decision in life. I think it's the most important decision in life that I get to choose that I'm going to accept Jesus and that I'm going to worship God for who he is. I get to choose who I'm going to marry. I have chosen that. Many of you have. It's a choice. I get to choose who I'm going to befriend. I get to choose who I will allow to be in the circle of friends that I have. There's a lot of choices that we have in life, but I find it's something that I don't get to choose who my children's going to be. Now, God made that decision, and I'm glad that he did. I didn't get to choose who my parents were going to be. But I am thankful for this. I'm thankful for the gift of life. I'm thankful that I have life. You know, when I was young, I was stupid. How many of you said, when I was young, I was stupid too, preacher? Well, see, some of you are so stupid, you didn't even realize you were stupid when you was young. Amen. Amen. You got a double dose of it. You ever heard somebody, or have you ever made this statement, I wish I'd have never been born, when you didn't get your way about something or something didn't go your way, you know? I wish I'd have never been born. I'm so glad I was born. I love life. You say, if you had a great life, preacher, well, you know, yeah, relatively speaking, I have. I've had a very good life. God has been very good to me. Very, very good to me. There's some things I would change, some things that I was not in control of that if I could have changed, I would. And there's been some things that I am in control of or was in control of that if I would could have or could, I would change them. But they've come and gone. God's given me a good life, and I'm thankful for it. Biologically, I'm thankful for life, aren't you? I'm thankful that God set up life to where man and a woman can be fruitful and multiply, and that you can have children. That's where it starts. I'm glad my parents were pro-life. Amen. Yeah, that's right. I would say that pro-choicers are glad that their parents were pro-life. Right? Yeah. Right? It's amazing to me that these people say, you know, I'm pro-choice. Well, you probably thank God that your parents was not. So, I'm thankful for life. I'm glad God set it up this way, that a man can marry a woman in an ideal situation, the way God's plan, the way God's way is, and they could bear children. They could be fruitful and be and they could multiply and be parents. And that's the beginning of it. That's the biological part of it. Now, there's much more involved in that I'm not going to. I don't have to. We're not in third grade, fifth grade, eighth grade, whatever grade. They started teaching it now, I think, in third grade in school. That's about. I don't even want to get into that. So we're not in biology class, okay? But we do thank God for the gift of life, and I'm glad that I understand that. Number two, there's not only a biological matter, but it's an emotional matter to be a parent. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Someone has said that when the doctor hands you your baby, it's like handing you a diamond. And you get to etch on that diamond, you get to engrave on that diamond a sentence, realizing that that sentence is going to stay with that diamond for the rest of its existence. It's kind of like it is when you get handed your child. You get to make an impression on that child that's going to affect that child for the rest of its existence. His or her existence. Be careful what you etch on that diamond. All right? It sticks with us, doesn't it? The longer I live, the more I realize how that my upbringing and how that my childhood, it never goes away, brethren. It's with us. God has so made it that way. I'm studying for this Sunday's message and about the Syrophoenician woman, and I don't know that I'd preach that, but it's certainly where God got me going. And she said, have mercy on me. She was talking about her daughter. Yeah, have mercy on us, right? Parent and child are so connected. You teach your children things, they learn from you. You're your children's first teachers. Right, parents? We're our children's first teachers. We teach them about God. You say, well, I don't teach my children about God. Yeah, you do. You just don't know it. You see, through the eyes of a little child, the parents are their first view of who they think God is. I wrote this down. I was talking with the Allen family. I think it was Monday, and I was telling them about this. I said, you know, I read somewhere, and I went back and I looked it up, and it was talking about the five stages of being a parent. Stage one, the children idolize you, right? You know, they think dad is the strongest man. I think my children still think that. I never have told them any different. don't y'all tell them. Oh, Marcus is in here. You know, I think dad's the smartest and mom's the best. And the children should think that about their parents, right? They just, you know, they just idolize their parents. They think their parents is the greatest. But then they start learning a few things, and all of a sudden they go from idolizing their parents to almost demonizing their parents. Then they think their children don't know anything. that they know it all. Amen. Right? You remember that? They know it all. And you try to tell them, and they, well, you know, I know better. And then they go from idolizing to demonizing to utilizing. They want what you've got to give them. Somebody say amen. Some of you smiling real big. I believe you right there, right now. Yeah. And then they go from idolizing to demonizing to utilizing to finally humanizing. You know what? Mom and Dad's just human. They're not all I thought they was as far as perfection. But you know, they're not all I thought they were as far as demonizing them neither. They're not just somebody there for to give me stuff and to do things for me. They're my parents. They're my mother and my father. And I love them and I respect them. And I thank God for giving them to me and me to them. And then finally, we get to this place to where many of us are today. We go from idolizing to demonizing to utilizing to humanizing to heroizing. Our parents are our heroes. It's almost like it comes full circle and we realize how valuable our parents were in our lives. No, they're not perfect. No, they didn't do everything right. You didn't either, right? That's right. That's why there's no perfect children. There's no perfect parents. Parents are important. And so I want to tell you, when you're teaching your children, you teach your children to criticize, they'll grow up condemning people. You teach your children to be hostile, they'll grow up fighting and always contentious. That's what they learn. They'll be people of conflict. So be careful what you teach your children. Be careful how you act. Be careful what you say. Be careful the way you conduct yourself. Children, listen, they're sponges. We know this, but yet if we're not careful, we forget and we just go through these phases where we'll just say anything in front of our children. Hey, can I tell you, there's just some things that shouldn't be said in front of your children. They're not ready for it. And so you teach your children criticism, they condemn. They'll be condemning everybody. You teach them hostility, and they'll be fighting and conflict. But if you teach them patience, they'll be understanding. Right? Teach them forgiveness, they'll be long-suffering. They'll be kind. You teach them praise, and they'll be appreciative. Teach them security, and they'll learn trust. It's very important. God has put their little minds and He's put their emotions. He's put it into your hands as a parent, into my hands as a parent. And we have to be very careful. They're fragile. And they're not one of the boys, right? They're not an adult. They're impressionable. And they take everything at face value, and it's just so important. And so you say, well, I want my children to honor me. I'll never forget. And whether you voted for George Bush, and I mean Junior, I get them mixed up. I think it's W. Herbert, I think, was dad. Whether you voted for him or not, whether you appreciated him or not, I read a comment by him that really resonated with me. It stuck with me. He was in an interview, and I was reading in a magazine an interview that he was in, and someone asked him, they listed his accolades, you know, your brother's in politics, your dad's the president, the vice president, or maybe the greatest president of our generation, Ronald Reagan, then he was president, and then now, you know, you're president, and I think he was in the Navy, he flew some type of plane in the Navy, and they just listed all these accolades and all these things that he had done, and they said, so of all those things, what would you say was your greatest accomplishment? And this really just stuck with me. He said, my greatest accomplishment is that my children still come to see me. You know? I thought that was really good. Sometimes children grow up and move on and they just don't have anything to do with their parents. You say, well, I have a reason, preacher. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Okay? The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. And God's always right. Okay? You say, I don't agree with that. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, you're wrong. You say, when you don't agree with God, you're wrong. And I'm just saying. And I've had to go through this. I've had to go through a lot of things in my life. I've had to really sort through some things on this particular commandment. All right? But I've come down on the right side because I've come down on God's side on it. You come down on God's side, you're on the right side. And so it says, honor thy father and thy mother. So there's the biological and there's the emotional. And we only have them for a few years. You say, well, preacher, I'm beginning to wonder if they'll ever grow up and get out. Well, believe me, that time will come. It won't be long. They'll be gone just like that. And so you need to really make an impression on them while you have them. Teach them. Invest in them. Look across the page here and just for a moment. And I was going to go to this, but I just feel led of the Lord. Look, if you would, in chapter 6. Now, look at verse 1. Now, these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. In other words, again, Moses is reminding, God has reminded Moses to remind the children of Israel, there's some guidelines, there's some things I want you to do when you get in the land. He said in verse number 2, that thou mightest fear, I'm in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. See, there it is again. Prolonging of days. It may be well with thee that people would honor life and people would live in such a way that it would go well. And he said, you need to teach your sons and you need to teach your son's son some things. You need to be a family man. So, well, I want honor. Well, instruct. Teach. Invest. Right? Don't just say, well, you know, I'm getting old now and I want honor for my children. Well, invest in their lives while they're young. Grandparents, listen to me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to continue to invest in your children as they have children. You've been places that they have not been yet. Don't be afraid to invest. Now, you say, well, that's meddling. Not if you're investing, not if you're instructing. You've been places they haven't been. Now, you can't run their lives, but you can sure impart to them wisdom. Amen. And so, let's continue to read here. I want to skip down. He talked about, again, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And then he gets down into verse number 7. And he said, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Here it is again. Teach your children the word of God. Teach them what's right. Teach them what's wrong. Have family altar. Your children need a moral compass. They need a spiritual compass in their life. They need to know how to navigate through this world of darkness in which we live. They need some constance and some consistency. And it's our place as fathers, as mothers, as parents to teach it to them. Just seem like that now we're just doing the biological part. We just have children and let them run amok. And do what they choose. And that's just not God's way, brethren. And it shouldn't be named among us as Christians. It shouldn't be named among those even as decent people. But God knows it shouldn't be named among we who are saved in the grace of God and have the instruction of the Word of God. We need to invest in our children. Need to invest in them. Never quit investing in your children, in your children's children. Again, I call this your attention to verse number 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What is he saying? He's saying, spend time with your children, impart in your children. Let God see, or let the children see what God's done in your life. Remind them what God has done. Remind them where God has brought you from. Remind them why you have that house. Remind them why you have that property. Remind them why you have those clothes on your back and a place to lie your head. It's the goodness of God. Let them know God did it, brethren. It's not the job. Hear me now. It's not the job. It's not the man down the street. It's not the neighbor. It's not this. It's not that. It's the God of heaven that has given us all that we have to enjoy in life. And we need to teach this to our children so that they can know that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we need to teach this to our children. If we don't, the world will teach them differently. The world will teach them that they just magically evolved from some single cell amoeba or some other nonsense. And so we have to invest. When I read the scripture, I just see an investment into their emotional and spiritual life. Now, we go back to chapter 5, and that's the third thing, the spiritual matter. So we have the biological matter of parenting. I thank God for life. Abortion's murder. Listen to me. It's murder. You can slice it, dice it. You say, well, you know, I know someone had an abortion. Well, you know what? It's murder. And I'm not saying that someone couldn't get forgiveness and someone shouldn't get some help and get some healing. I think they should. I do everything I could to help someone like that. I would, and I hope that you would. I would help anyone I could in any matter that I could. So I don't want you to think, well, I'm sitting here and preacher, I've done some things I shouldn't have done. Well, haven't we all? But that doesn't make it okay. I'm telling you what God says. It's wrong, it's sin, it's murder. And so you take care of those babies now, all right? So number one, have them. That's right. Then number two, foster to their care. Care for them. Invest in their lives. Step up to the plate, sir. Amen. Ma'am, step up. You're a parent. Be a parent. You're not a child anymore. Grow up. Say, well, you sound mad. I'm not mad. Just shooting straight. It's easy to shoot straight. And you have to think about all you're going to say when you're trying to dance around stuff. This is simple stuff. But I'm going to tell you now, the devil's going to fight you. And he's going to try to get your attention and your mind and your time and your effort on anything and everything except for what it needs to be on. Can I tell you the first thing that your mind needs to be on is the God of heaven. And right after that is your family. Okay? Your family. Care for your family. Invest in those little children. Invest in those. Pray for them. So there's the biological. There's the emotional. There's the spiritual. There's the spiritual. Have family altar. Say, I can't have family altar. It's chaos. Oh, I remember. Amen. I remember it is chaos sometimes. But you listen, just stick with it. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Have a chapel in your home. Amen. Teach your children. They have a chapel in their heart. A time when they can get with God and worship God. Teach your children these things. You say, well, preacher, won't they just magically know it? They'll know what you teach them. They'll know what you teach them. Don't just assume that someone else is going to teach them. It's your place as mom and dad's to teach them. It's our place as parents to teach our children. Thank God for the aides that He has sent to help us, right? Yes, good Sunday school teachers, good children's church workers, good bus workers, good Christian school teachers. Thank God for that. Good pastors, good Christians in the church family. Thank God for these aides. But that's all they are, brethren. They're aides. It's not their responsibility to teach your children. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. We're to teach our children. So that's the parents. And it goes deep. It goes deep. Parents, we have to start in our home. You know, I think it was Paul who told Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 5, he said that piety must first be shown at home. Now, I know he's talking about the widows. I know he's talking about, but piety. Listen, you have to show your, that word piety, it simply means devoutness, reverence, all right? It's got to be shown at home. You can't come to the church and brother this and brother that and amen and God is great and life is wonderful and then go home and curse like a sailor and fuss your kids out and kick your wife and, you know, act like an animal. You say, listen, you can't do that. Well, you can, but you're building a monster in those kids. They're seeing that and it's going to warp them. It's going to warp them. I can't tell you how many young people that Sharon and I have come to us even in recent times and just said, we don't know what to believe. You know, we come to church and hear this, and then we go home and hear something different. Then we go down to that school and hear something, and then we get with this crowd and hear something. We don't know what to believe. Hey, we've got to teach our children the Bible. We've got to keep them in the Word of God. It's so important. And as a parent, we have that option, but more importantly, it's a responsibility and a duty. And so I want to press on you the importance of getting with your family. You say, preacher, when I get home, I'm tired. I understand that. My children are small. I understand that. Been there, done that. It's not easy, brother. It's not easy now. But I'm here to tell you, God will ask you to do the hard thing in life. He will. God's not like some preachers. Preachers won't ask you to do some hard things. Some of them. Somebody's thinking right now, we got one who will. Well, I hope you pray for me. God will ask you to do the hard thing. If it's worth the effort, it's worth the reward. Invest in your children. Even if it's for 10 minutes, you let your children know there's a time where we reverence God every day. We're going to break open His Word, and I'm going to read a verse of Scripture too. I'm going to get you to if you can read, and we're going to have some prayer, and we're going to talk about how good God is. Amen. So I've started that, and I've stopped again. If I told you the times that Sharon and I, and here's my witness, started and stopped family devotions, you'd probably lose respect for me. If you have any. I hope you do. If you don't, well, that's on you, not me. I am what I am by the grace of God. You'll start family devotions and you'll stop. You might go a month. You might go 6 months. You might go 6 years. But then something will happen, a sickness or a prolonged sickness or something will go wrong. And then before you know it, you'll kind of get out of it. And then it'll be hard to get it going again. And boy, your kids will just be rolling in the floor. I could go on and on here. I think I know, I can tell by looking in your face, I think some of you know what I'm talking about. It's a struggle, but it's worth the struggle. It's worth it. It's kind of like everything else, you know. Your children start, you teach them to say thank you and please, and you wonder, are they ever going to get this? And then they say it, and you say, hey, man, they got it. And they do it one time and then stop. And you think, come on, I mean, you know. We had a little granddaughter, Emery. And so she said, I want some more milk. I said, you do? She said, yeah. And I said, well, how do you ask? She said, I want some more milk, please. I said, okay, you're not going to get any. Because you knew how to ask and you didn't. I let her sit there for a little while, and then I said, I'm going to give you some milk now. What would you like to have? She said, I'd like to have some milk, please. I said, now you're going to get some milk. You have to teach children. I sure hope to God, if one of your children walks up to you and says, hey, give me this, you don't just run and get it. Right? Amen. Teach your children to ask. Teach them to, may I? Please, thank you. Be, you know, right? Amen. All right, let me give you another thought, and then we're going to close for tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about the precept. So there's the parents, the biological part, right? And then there's the emotional. You be careful. Don't expose your children to violence and cursing and ungodliness, filth, and things on television and maybe even in your home. Don't expose your children to that. Ungodly music. I tell you right now, listen, I don't want to get too far on this, because I get on this and it just bothers me, brethren. It bothers me that people who say they're Christians listen to rap music. That's the filthiest, most vulgar stuff ever. And if you've got that stuff in your life, you need to get rid of that stuff. That stuff is filthy and vulgar. It's right out of the pit of hell. You say, well, I think my children's listening to it, preacher. Well, you need to do a room search. You say, well, they're 15. I can't do a room search. You can't. Who's paying the rent around there? Who's paying the bills around there? Amen. Yeah. I don't like that now, preacher. Well, I might say some more things tonight you don't like. But I'm going to tell you right now. Kids live at my house. They're going to go by my rules. I'll search your room, male or female. If I find something I don't like, I might get with you before I crush it, but it's getting crushed. That's right. That's right. You don't have to put up with that stuff. That ungodly music and ungodly programming and reading, that ought not be named among us. We're Christians. Right? Yes. Say, can we talk about that precept now? We will. We will. But just be careful now. Young people, they'll get one up on you. They're pretty smart. They are. They're pretty smart. You'll think, well, my children, they're doing great. Watch them. So my children don't do wrong. Ooh. They pulled one over on you. Honor. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor. What is honor? Well, look the word up. It means give weight. Hold in high esteem. Honor. To hold in high esteem. Before I get into the one point that I want to get into, I can already hear somebody say, I can't honor my father and mother. You don't know what they did to me. I don't. I know what my father did to me. You ever been to court? When you approach the bench, you don't say, hey, Bob. Your Honor. You know the man? No. Might be a dog, I don't know. Might be the sorriest rascal there is. But you're respecting his position. You're respecting his chair. Right? So you refer to him as your honor. Sometimes there's a person in a position, and I want to be on the right side of this, okay? It's hard for me to respect a man like Joe Biden, but he is our president, okay? He is our president. So he's not my president. Well, what was you saying when people were saying that about Mr. Trump? That's right. He is the president of the United States. I want to come down on the right side of this, okay? If we teach our children that you can trash who you want to trash. If you don't like them, regardless of their position, you can trash them, regardless of their position. But now you expect everybody to agree with someone that you agree with in that position, even if they don't agree, you want them to agree and show respect. See, that's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy, and that's what you're teaching your children. You're teaching them that based on how they feel. See, we say we don't like this. We say we don't believe in relativity. If it feels good, do it. And do what you want and how you want and who you want and when you want. We say we don't like that. But if we're not careful, we'll be living that and we'll be teaching that to our children. And I want to come down on the right side of this. And I got to tell you, I struggle with it sometimes. I struggle with it. I don't want to teach a double standard here. I don't want to teach, well, you know, if I agree with them, then let's show them honor. But if I don't agree with them, then let's not show them honor. I don't want to do that. The position is to be honored. He is the president of the United States. Just like that judge. You may not like that judge. You may know him outside of the courtroom, and you may have some beef with him. You may not like him. But when you approach him, you don't go up and say, hey, Bob. No. Your honor. You may think a police officer done you wrong. I was doing 60 to 55, and I got a ticket. I don't like him. And he's Joe to me. He's an officer of the law. Yes, sir. Amen. I don't like Dale Freeman. He's your pastor. What are we teaching our children? Are we teaching them you can do what you want, how you want, when you want, as long as it's what we agree with? Or are we teaching them that there is a set of guidelines that need to be followed by authority standards? This is what God is teaching here. All right? Because God not only said, honor thy father and thy mother. We won't turn there because of the sake of time. But in the book of Ephesians and Colossians, he said, children, obey your parents. That means come under their head. That means fall under their authority. It means, listen, honor is respect. Obedience is respond. Respond to their authority. You with me? Respond to their authority. I don't agree with it. Respond to their authority. One day, you will have your own home set up, and then you can make the rules. But as long as you're under their household, and as long as you're under their authority, respond to their authority. One day, praise God, hopefully soon, we'll have another president. That's right. And then we can respond to his authority. But we're going to respond to this man's authority. He is our president. You understand that? I hope that you do. You say, I don't like it, preacher. Well, there's some things we don't like in life, but they are what they are. I disagree with it. Well, come show me in the Bible. The Bible says we ought to pray for those in authority over us. I think the reason some folks can be mean-spirited, cold-hearted, is they're not praying for people the way they should. It's very easy to grow calloused and mean-spirited toward people we're not praying for, but when we're praying for people, it kind of softens our heart toward them. Have you found that to be that way? I have. So, our time is up. Say, so what's that have to do with being parents? You teach your children to respect you. You teach your children to obey you. My children never called me Dale. Okay? If your children are calling you by your first name, you need to stop that immediately. Immediately. I'm not their old man. One of my children ever called me that? I don't care if I'm humped over, got a beard white down to my knees, and I'm walking on a cane. They ever come to me and say, how's it going, old man? I'll take that cane and do something with it. It's not going to end well. I'm not my children's old man. I am their father. And I'm going to teach my children to the day I die. You honor me. Now, I want to give them someone to honor. It's not all on them. It's on me. You see what I'm saying, brethren? I want to give them someone to honor. I want to give them someone they can look up to and respect to give honor. And so it's very important. Honor thy father and thy mother. It's missing in our society. It's almost like anything goes. As you stand to your feet, I'm going to make a statement. You're going to think, why do you even have to make that statement? I don't know. You come to me after the service and tell me why. Your children are not in charge. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. Your children are not in charge. The moment that you allow your children to be in charge, you've lost control of your family. You have done them a great disservice by allowing your children to be in charge. I don't care if they're 2 or 20. Your children are not in charge. And you have to show them, if they're still under your responsibility, if they're under your roof, you're in charge. You obey until you set up the authority. Listen to me carefully now. I'm telling you what the Scripture teaches. These are precepts. You obey until you set up your own home of authority. That's right.
Amen.
Then the obedience goes. You support as long as your parents are alive. So you obey them in your youth, you support them in their age, but you honor them at all times.
Amen.
Are you listening to me now?
That's good.
See, if you want it to be well with you, we got to get this family thing right. And we've lost it. We're allowing 5-year-old kids to call the shots in the home. 5-year-old kids don't call the shots. Hey, can I tell you, 15-year-olds don't either. 15-year-olds don't call the shots.
Amen.
Hey, Dad, call the shots. God made you the shot caller. Call the shots. It's important. I'm not being mean. I'm not. I'm trying to wake us up here. This culture out here is trying to conform us. Don't you get conformed to that. Don't you get conformed to that. You stay conformed to this. Hide this in your heart. This is where it's at, brethren. So, let's bow our heads together. I want you to pray with me as we pray tonight. I want you to pray with me as we pray. God, help us now. Help us to obey our parents and our youth, to support them in their age, but to honor them at all times. God, help me. Help me to set that example to my children, to my grandchildren. Help me to teach them the proper structure that you have taught in your word. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I pray that you would help us. God, help me. I want to be a help to your people. I want to please you. I want to be pleasing to you. I just want to do your word. I want to do your will. And God, I struggle with some things. It's hard for me to show respect for people who don't fear you and who don't love you and who go against your word. But if you love them, I can love them. Teach me to love them, to pray for them, to honor their position, though I may not be able to honor their behavior. Help me, Lord, to be consistent in these matters, that I would not send out a wrong message, confusing signals to the young people. I just want to be someone that could be used, that would be a guideline, and help us here at Fellowship Baptist Church to be consistent in these things, that we would represent you well in this community for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. I pray for the parent that may be under the sound of my voice even tonight that is struggling in their home. And I just pray, oh God, that you would help them. Help them to resolve in their heart even tonight to begin to set their house in order. And I pray that your word would just find lodging in their hearts, and they would carry it out to bring forth fruit 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of the night. Now, Sunday's Mother's Day.